Okay, Sunday morning. This is October 13, 2019. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 4. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, but it also has teaching with it. This is called The Oneness of the Faith. I was listening to somebody yesterday that they started in on that very thing. You know, I'm thinking, well, good, you know. Talk about the oneness of the faith. All right, let's just start with verse 1 here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called. So we all have a vocation. It's not our jobs. It's the work of the Lord. The Lord has called us. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This is, to me, one of the most powerful scriptures because He's telling us He's called us in the body and that He has graced us for that calling. That means there's not our, of course there'll be work to anything, but it's divine empowerment that comes along, comes upon us, and is in us. Jesus Christ is grace to do what God's called us to do. So it's not something that we have to go, no. They don't work that way. We can't any of us do God's things just by the arm of the flesh, because this is spiritual work. So we talked for 4 or 5 weeks on the fruit of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, and that's how Jesus walked. So our calling, our vocation is the same way. It's not something that has to be wrenched out. It's something that flows. It's something that just does it for you. That's the way you feel about it. This just does it for me. It's my niche. It's my, I'm not talking naturally. I'm talking spiritually. Okay. There's one body. What did I stop at 5? One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You know, I was asking the Lord, I said, you know, as you step up into a bigger calling, you're going, he says, the grace increases. Lord, how am I going to be able to do it? My grace enlarges. As your calling enlarges, as your responsibility enlarges, and more grace comes alongside to help you. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the first lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we're being transformed into his image. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. You know, Satan has so thwarted the church and fragmented by going with doctrines of men, making our own little institutions and doing our own little thing, that this process of this perfecting and unifying and maturing the saints, because that's where our power is, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. There's a lot of Christians in the world today, but there's, like, I guess it was Paul that said it, I'm not sure, there's not many fathers. Maybe that's in John, isn't it? Anyway, 1 John or something like that. Talk about, there's not many fathers. There's not many that are grown up and mature. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Another thing that the enemy has caused this disunity, we exalt our ministries above others, and we think ours is the best, and they don't know what they're talking about, but what they don't understand is we're all parts of one body. It's like I'm saying to the heart, you're not good enough. I'm the brain. I'm better. No, you're not. You do your own function. You do your own thing. And recognizing that and appreciating it. I appreciate the brain for what it does. I appreciate the heart for what it does. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I heard someone say this week, and he's an older man, a prophet in the body of Christ. I don't know him well. I've just listened to a couple of his things because he was talking on stuff where the Lord's leading me. And when I saw the title of his message, I thought that piques my curiosity. And he's talking about he was an associate of Neville Johnson, you know, about the kingdom age. He's talking about, Lord, how are we going to get from the end of the church age to the beginning of the kingdom age? He said, I see a bridge. And I believe this is it. This bridge, if we don't get unified and we don't begin to come out of the institutions we've built based on experience or whatever reason, we're going to all have to come into being one, and nobody's, you know, of course there's leaders, but there's no, it's like the leaders do everything and the sheep do nothing. It's going to have to come into a unity where we work together as a body works together. You go stump your toe and you watch how your whole body reacts. Well, don't go do that, but you've done it, so you know. This is the way the body of Christ is to operate. This is the unity of the faith. We move as one. You don't have to tell the brain to operate. It just does. It's graced in your body. You don't have to tell the heart to pump. It's graced. God's put it in the body to filter the blood and the lungs for oxygen. And your digestive system. God does it. And it's graced in its place. It's in unity. When one part suffers, it says that all parts suffer. They come to the aid of the one that's suffering. Very sad statement. I believe it was Kenneth Copeland that I first heard it said from. The Christian army is the only army that kills its wounded. That ye put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is that? Renewing your mind to God's ways. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we talk negatively, when we talk anti-God, this grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are no longer children. Verse 14 is where I want to key in on. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive. This is the double-minded. Tossed to and fro. Okay, Ephesians 24, another key scripture. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the new nature. All right, let's look at James 1, 5. It talks about the double-minded man, the instability. To me, this is probably the greatest maturity there is in the body of Christ, is to be stable and unmoving, not be tossed about. When you get to where, like Paul did, when the snake attached itself to the hands, he just shook it off and acted like nothing ever happened. That's mature manhood there. Because it's all about the enemy trying to get you off of your place, out of your place. All right, this is James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know what? Let's go up. Verse 2. Excuse me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So nothing's going to happen for this one. Nothing's going to happen. It's just wavering individual. They just can't seem to believe. They can't seem to let what's coming against them fall by the wayside and be stalwart and unified with the Spirit and what the Spirit has to say about it. You could say it's another narrative. You ought to identify to that, because that's what's going on in our world now, has been ever since Genesis chapter 3, when the devil showed up. Another narrative came forth. We believe the lies of the devil, the pain, the symptoms, or whatever it is, over what God's Word says, and learning to walk. And this is what this teaching and all of this today is about, this. The Lord is allowing things to come into our lives, and he's trying to get us to the place that the Apostle Paul was, where we shake them off and we just go on and we just act like it didn't even happen. See, he's doing us a favor. I know it doesn't look like it. Because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, sometimes I think, you taught me you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. I said, this is unbearable. Yeah. And he said, I'm trying to teach you, child. I'm trying to teach you to stay on my word, look straight on, keep your face, you know, like flint, set your face like flint, say I'll not be moved, no matter what the circumstances may dictate, and don't let the devil have your tongue. He said, when you get to where it doesn't bother you, then it won't be there. I said, I know you're right. Help me, Lord. I know you're right. Okay. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is the single most important thing. I know a lot of people say, well, you need to get in a church, get under a pastor. Well, I agree with that. But I think this is the single most important thing as a Christian we have to do. After we come to know the Lord, Savior, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. All our plans, everything goes out the door. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means you don't get to do what you want to do. I heard Keith Moore say that one time, and people come up trying to correct him and tell him he needs to do this and that. He said, I don't even get to do what I want to do. You think I'm going to listen to what you want me to do? I thought, touche, that he was brave enough to do that. People try to pull on you to do this and to do that, thinking, I'm not my own. I have to do what Father says, and if you get mad, then best be mad. I don't care. I care about what Father says, what he wants me to do. Now, we don't have to be ugly about it, but people, they'll try to pull on you to do things. Go places you don't want to go. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I have a series on TV. It's an older series. It's called New Testament Worship. And in that, we discover that I said, New Testament worship is not what you thought it was, is it? It's presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice and renewing your word with the word of God. There's your worship. I said, yeah, most people think, oh, it's going to the sanctuary and just clapping and doing our bunny hops and all that. They think that's worship. No, it's not. It's laying down all that you are, allowing him to have all that you are and mold you into his image for his plan and purpose. You could say we're kamikazes. We're on a suicide mission. We're dying out to our ways, our fleshly ways. We are not going to go those fleshly ways. We're following the Lord and wherever it may lead us. Okay, your life is no longer your own. This is Colossians 3. Ordered me a new Bible yesterday. It's called the Septuagint. It's the oldest translation. They say it dates back to the apostles. The oldest known translation from Hebrew to Greek. And I'm excited to get it because we're going to see how botched up King James did it. Okay, Colossians 3. Now, he's the best I've got now, but we're going to see. This is Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So you're hidden with him. Many years ago on radio, I did a series called Hidden in Christ, something like that. Not, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. The body of Christ is not like Hollywood. And we've made church leaders that way. It's like they're on Mount Olympus and we're just the sheeple out here that don't know, just, you know, we're entertained, basically. I mean, I hate to say that, but a lot of times it is so. But no, in the body, we're all one. Whatever position we hold, whether we be the chief or the Indian, it is a deference. It's a loving one another, preferring one another, a unified walk, where the gifting that's the most needed at the time is the one that steps up. I'm not saying there's not leaders, don't get me wrong. There always needs to be those that help those that are not as mature along the way, but it's not a I'm better than you thing. Jesus is the only thing better. Jesus is it. Okay. My body has not presented themselves as a whole to me as a living sacrifice and renewed their mind with my ways. No maturity. Instead of one body, there is a body of division. The carnal man is earthly minded, Unless he presents himself or renews his mind, he is virtually unusable. One body that moves as one is the goal. This is not fellowshipping with all religions through ecumenicalism, but by submitting your body as a living sacrifice and renewing your mind, those mature ones use their faith and advance the kingdom of God. And this is why we've not, this is where, why we, our world has gotten to the place that it is because there's not a bit maturity in the body of Christ. And how can there be maturity if all you do is you go in every service and all you do is sit and listen? And then you're going about your merry way, you don't crack a book, and you come back to church, and then you're going back on your merry way, your job, your kids, your whatever is going on. No, there's not any many people that have said, okay, I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice. Lord, I want you to do with me what you want to do with me. I want you to accomplish through me what you want to accomplish through me. You can't just do this on Sunday. This is a lifestyle. This is something you breathe. Isn't there a scripture like that? Through him, there's a scripture that kind of indicates that. I don't even know how to even say it. In him we move and breathe and have our being, or something similar to this. It's like he is the very air that we breathe. He's the very steps that we take. He's everything all in all. Kind of like the military, but in a spiritual way. Paul said these words, and this was his concern over the churches because he was the apostle sent to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We need to be as confident in the Lord as we have been confident in the world systems. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, or 11, sorry. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what the Lord was saying to me. I'm allowing things to come into your life so that you can learn to put away childish ways and draw upon my grace. I told you my grace would be sufficient for you to draw on his grace to not be moved by what you see. Because this is the goal, and this is Satan. That's what he does. He comes to move you. Have you ever thought about emotion? Emotions. What is emotions? They move you. So I was so moved by that movie. You know what I'm saying? Not moved. When I was a child, look at your society, especially the millennials. They have been coddled. This is what coddle means. To treat tenderly, nurse of tend, or tend indulgently, or to pamper. They still live at home, can't seem to support themselves, think everyone owes them something, and they can't control their emotions. There's a picture of a girl, very unlovely looking young woman. No makeup, hair in this old hat, big old ugly glasses. And when she heard Trump, one, she falls on the ground and just these screams and fits, and it wasn't just her. There's a bunch of them that did it. They panned the crowd whenever all the Hillary Clinton supporters saw that she had lost. Those young people were just breaking down and acting like you'd think you was at the toddler place, you know, where the kids are at church. Toddlers over there go over there and they just beat you on the head with a toy, and you bawl and scream and you get up and go over there and hit them or you bite them. That's the way they looked. Not just them, the adults too. You talk about a spirit. This is a spirit of the world that's being pushed on these people. These people don't normally act that way, but they've been propagandized for so many years. This is a result. They've heard Satan's narrative for so many years, and now they can't control it. It's come out in all its ugliness. That's what we're seeing. Okay, they can't control their emotions. They're totally out of control. What you see in the natural has happened in the spirit first. Just as the serpent beguiled Eve. The breakdown was in the church first and now in society. Christians have been coddled instead of being trained as good first-class soldiers. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. They're looking for someone to feed them, bless them, and pray for them as they go on their way, just as the millennials as a whole are not equipped to be viable in society. So the church is not viable or ready for this day and this hour. So what we have allowed to happen in the spirit because we've not taken our authority and pushed back the enemy, it has reflected itself in our society. That's why I've warned you and I've told you, don't depend on President Trump. Now, he's going to do his best for us. He'll die for us. He already is. And his family. They've put their lives on the line for us in this country. But the power behind the president is the church, because why? We've been given dominion. We're the only ones that can push back the devil. Now, they can take their guns and blow away ISIS and all this Al-Qaeda and all these things. Yeah, they can do that. But they can't get rid of that spirit. But we can. We can push it back and keep it under our feet. Now we see why our world's the way it is, because the church allowed it to happen. The Lord always brings it right back into our lamps and saying, why didn't you do what I told you to do? I told you to occupy till I come. Why did you give up? Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. So what's this saying to us? The ones that had the extra oil are the ones that have been preparing. They've been in the Word day and night. They've been standing in faith. They've been faithful to do little until the Lord tells them they can do more. They're in the Word for themselves, and see, they're extra oil. They're equipped for when the Lord comes and said, okay, it's time. It's the close of the church age. And now the kingdom age is to begin. And because you have studied to show yourself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, now I can use you in this hour. But these others, we love them, but they didn't prepare. And they will suffer the consequences. If they die, they'll go to heaven. But they weren't prepared when the Lord came. That's where I believe we sit today. That's what the Lord's doing right now. He's raising up people. And I believe there's people all over this nation and all nations of the world that the Lord's calling them out, telling them the very things he's telling us. And there's those that'll just go on doing the regular little thing like they've always done. I don't care how weird it may seem. I want to be where the Lord's moving. Only half were prepared. Here's what it means to be foolish. Dull or stupid, heedless or moral blockhead. Here's what it means to be wise. Thoughtful, sagacious or discreet, implying a cautious character, always discerning, picking up what's the Spirit saying. As I've spoken to you before, the church is the lighthouse or the standard. The church, not the government, sets the morality in the society. A breakdown in the church equals a breakdown in society. One body, one voice, the voice of faith is what is needed in this hour. Faith accomplishes. See, we can say, well, the government's corrupt. That's the problem in our country today. Well, it really isn't. It got there because the church was corrupt first. They didn't follow the Lord. They stopped, did something else, quit doing what they were supposed to do. You know, people that are just thinking, well, the leaders are the ones that have to do it. Let the missionaries do it. They're not going to make it in this day and hour. Not, and I don't mean they're going to die, but I just mean they're not going to reach where they want to reach. There is a cross to bear to get there. There is a putting aside. You're no longer your own. You're bought with a price. And the Lord, I was thinking about a young man that the Lord's given me a couple of words concerning him about being a judge. And I think he's fighting it. But you know, the Lord said, I call, not everybody answers. People have their own agenda in the way. Well, I don't really want to do that. I'd rather do this. Well, ask me if there's some stuff I'd rather be doing. It's not about that. It's about, Lord, here's your servant, like Samuel. Lord, speak now. Your servant is listening. You know, the Lord, many called, few chosen. Some just don't answer the call. Some say, no, you know, like the man Jesus called, well, let me first go and bury my father, you know. There's always something in the way. Well, I'll follow you after they pass away, or I'll follow you then, or that. And before you know it, they look up and say, well, my whole life's gone now. And I didn't answer the Lord's call. These other things are just too much important. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The body is so fragmented and skewered, going in many directions like wild olive branches. That's what the Lord said to me. Wild olive branches. My dear friend gave me a little bonsai tree for pastor appreciation. And this one I think I've got, it's about 4 years old, and it's tiny. And it you know, they give you information where you can learn how to prune it and keep it the shape you want it. Well, I was thinking about, you know, Daniel-san in the bonsai tree and Mr. Miyagi. See, that was the whole thing about his training. He was molding him. He wanted to punch. When am I going to get to punch? No, first sand the floor, wax the car, paint the fence, paint the house. See? The Lord is bringing us to the place where we will be mature and we will perform exactly the way He's called us to do so, graced in our place. But there's stuff we got to learn to get there. And he's so tired of the work part of it. He wanted to get to it. He wanted to punch some bullies out. But Mr. Miyagi said, oh, you wet behind ears. You know what I'm saying? You can't even keep your balance, and you're wanting to go punch them out. That's where the Lord has us. We've got to learn to maintain the balance. We can't even keep our emotions out of stuff for most of the time. Something happens and we have a meltdown. I'm not moved by what I see or hear. I'm only moved by what I believe. We have to be like Smith Wigglesworth. When the devil showed up in his house, woke him up, he turned over and said, oh, it's just you, went back to sleep. Okay, Romans 11. Got a lot this morning, but oh, the Lord wants us to be encouraged today. He says, you're going to get it. Just stick with the program. We're going to get it. Just don't give up. Can't give up. We shall reap in due season if we do not relax our minds and faint. That's what the Amplified says. Relax in our minds and faint. All right. 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy them who are my flesh, and might have some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches be broken off, and though being a wild olive tree, were it grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare thee not. So he's speaking to us not to be a wild olive branch, not to be independent. That's why Israel was broken off. But if you read the rest of the chapter, you see that God is going to graft them in, back in. Okay. I am the master pruner, and I'm pruning my branches. He said he prunes the branches so that they bear more fruit. See, it's not about the Lord being disappointed in us. It's not about the Lord seeing our faults and failures and reprimanding us about it. It's not about that. It's about him looking at that little bonsai tree, and it's going every which way, and he's going clip, 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 clip. He said, I like that. And then a little bit later, he comes back, snip, 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 snip. He's got a picture in his mind and looks like Jesus. That's what he's doing. Okay, Matthew 3. He's pruning us so we will bear more fruit. He's getting the dead stuff off of us so that we can bloom. You know, if we understand flowers and how flowers and bushes and trees and things, you have to cut off the dead or it's going to thwart the growth. And the full blooming will not come forth if the dead's still on it. Okay, Matthew 3:10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So he's pruning us. It's a new day, a new age, and I'm raising up many to get my will accomplished. All right, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things in the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not to bring to nothing things that are. He chooses the foolishness of preaching to bring the gospel. He doesn't like men and their superior intellects. He doesn't like that. Okay, I'm raising up Gideons, the Lord says. Gideons, this is Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at old Gideon today. I'll let you off a little early last week, so I'm going to probably take up that extra time today. Six. You know, that's not all right. That's Judges, not Joshua. I'm like Joshua. We'll get to Joshua. This is Judges. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And it was so, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east even then came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they come up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy them. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, Thus saith the Lord of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. I see the church in this. I see the left screaming their rhetoric every day, changing the laws every day, trying to take away your rights to eat beef or take away your guns or to regulate. Oh, let's give them, let's cause them to have to pay for the air they breathe. Let's tax the air. Oh, and let's tax their water on top of them paying for the water already. Let's tax their water. I'm talking to you. This is stuff that's happening. I mean, it's like, especially in the state of California, New York's another state, very liberal mayors and governors. These idiotic to where you just have to sit in a corner every day and do nothing. This is where they've pushed the church back into the corner, and the Lord's sitting there going, when are you going to do something? I gave you the land. That's what he's saying here. The Midianites are pushing them back in the corner, stealing the seed out of the ground, killing all their cattle. They have nothing to eat, nowhere to go. God, why are you doing this to us? Why won't you listen to us? Why have you done this? All right, let's keep going. He said, they have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and said under an oak, which is an Oprah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizarite, his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he's trying to hide what little bit of meat, little bit of wheat he had. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of courage or valor. One of them says courage, this one says valor. And Gideon said unto him, Oh, Lord, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite Midian as one man. What did the Lord do? Got their minds off of their pity party and blaming the Lord and blaming the government, blaming President Trump, whoever else in the world they can blame for it. And the Lord said, I told you, I gave you the land. It's yours. Go take it. And I'll be with you, you mighty man of fierce courage. He called those things to be not as though they were. And that's what the Lord's calling for today, for Christians to rise up, quit moaning about your situation, quit bashing the president, quit talking about the Democrats. Get to work. Run the devil out. Is that what happened in Gideon's day? Chapter 7. Let me get a drink. Verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose up early and encamped beside the well of Herod. So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people who are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. He's probably going, say what? You mean too many? But lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Remember the song we sang? It's not by might, not by power. There now therefore go proclaim in hearing of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. I'm with them. Keep the masses. Give me them few that have no fear. We'll move mountains with them. And they returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will test them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone who lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone who boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. In other words, what I read to you, foolish between what's foolish and wise? Foolish. Dull or stupid, heedless, moral blockhead. They put their faith on them, and they didn't look. The others went like this. They're watching. That's what wise is, thoughtful, sagacious, or discreet, implying a cautious character. Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the people took provisions in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So they slaughtered all of the Midianites with a trumpet and a candle. They didn't even use it. The Lord slaughtered them. I said, Lord, you know, it says over in Job that you have storehouses of hell to fight enemies. And I said, Lord, I call upon those storehouses of the angels for that hell to come down when we need it to overcome our enemies. I mean, fire's going to come down on Satan and those he's in sights after the 1,000-year millennial reign. I mean, if Joshua can say, sun, stand still, moon, in the valley, Ajalon. And there's one place where it says there was more killed by the hailstones that rained down on them from heaven than the men with weapons. We're living in supernatural times. They will start out like Gideon, blaming God and asking, why have you not done anything to mighty men of fearless courage? They will no longer be tossed to and fro, blaming me for their problems. They will become fearless and accomplish my will and my plan. They will be one, move as one, speak as one. They'll be mighty. Separation of church and state is the biggest lie of Satan that the church has believed. Oh, I can't get involved in anything political. I can't get involved in blah, 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 because we're corporated. Society is in terrible condition because the church has been in terrible condition. Don't be discouraged, for I said this is a new day, a new age. The morning star is arising in their hearts. This is 2 Peter 1:19. We We have also a more sure word of prophecy, until which ye do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, to me, that's revelation knowledge. They get a clue about what's really going on. They finally wake up to see the truth. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Thank you, Jesus. Don't despair. Keep using your faith, speaking my will, and my kingdom come in earth as in heaven. Speak it into existence. Don't be swayed by what you see. You're seeing what has already been there, but hidden from your eyes until now. See, the evil's always been here. I mean, there wasn't as many corrupt men. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 37. Everybody's waiting on the Lord to do something. Why won't the Lord do something? I heard someone say this week, well, the Lord spared their life. And it kind of flew all over me a little bit, like, it's all in God's hands. You know, it's always all in God's hands. Well, we know it's in God's hands, but He's given us, as the church, the word to speak. You know what I'm saying here? This, well, it's all in God's hands, so I do nothing. That's what bothered me. All right. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which saw was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest, it's in your hands. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and a behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Kind of like that shake, rattle, and roll here. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Why did the Lord tell him to prophesy, and why did not the Lord prophesy? The Lord has given the earth to men, and he's given man dominion over it. Do you notice here with the story of Gideon and the story of Ezekiel here, that the Lord, when they are hollering at the Lord about why don't you do something, he throws it right back in their lamp and saying, no, you go in the power of my might. I'll be with you. You change it, is what he's saying here. As you believe and speak, I will give life to the dry bones of the church and society. It is my way. It is all through the scriptures. A house divided cannot stand, but a unified body can. Or if we get enough. You've turned the corner. I know that you've been sensing it. You're making progress. Keep moving forward and always remember that I am with you and leading you. Believe and speak. When you sow to the Spirit, what do you get? Yes, life. Expect that. You're sowing seeds of life, and they will come up life. And this is what the Lord was saying to me. You need to expect. You've been in the Word of Faith for years. You have spoken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of words. Believe that those seeds have taken root in your body and quit believing every stupid lie that the devil brings. If you were speaking evil, you were speaking doubt and unbelief, you should expect the curse to show up in your life. But because you speak life and you have done it for years, you should expect life coming out of you, not anything else. Lord said, you need to expect that. Expect you'll come to a good end. Expect that you'll live a long age. Expect that everything works the way it's supposed to. Ain't it kind of silly to think that we speak life and we're expecting, you know, something to show up bad? No. I'm telling you, if I sow flower seeds in that pot, I'm expecting the flower that I've planted to come up out of that pot, not a thorn bush. It's just the devil trying to dupe, scare you. Because everywhere you go, you hear that is just crap. Negative crap. I said, Lord, there's not many people I can even talk to anymore and have a civilized conversation because all this crap comes out. And you try not, you don't want to just blast them with stuff, you know. You want to be discreet in what word you're to speak and not to speak, but you're just going, and these are Christians. These are Christians who have been saved for many, 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 many years and filled with the Spirit. But about spiritual things, it's like no different from the world. And we're blaming God because nothing's gotten done. It's not His fault. All right, James chapter 3. Verse 11. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt and salt water and fresh? Just what I said here. Previously, that's talking about not letting blessing and cursing come out of your mouth. But my point is, if you keep your mouth and you speak the right things and you've been doing it for year after year after year after year after year, you're planting seeds. You should expect health, wealth, wisdom. That's what you ought to expect, not snakes and crocodiles and swamp creatures, thorns, sickness, death, poverty. Don't let the devil get you there. Don't let him cause you to think that way. When you say believe, why do you speak health and expect sickness? If you say you believe, why do you speak health and expect sickness? I remember a word Danny had for me, and then the word, it's the Lord said, never be afraid of symptoms. Because they're Satan's lies of deception. Just because he says it don't mean it's so. Why would you speak wealth and expect poverty? Now, if you've sown a lot of poverty seeds and a lot of all that, it takes a while for to get things turned around. That might be the exception. Why would you speak wisdom and think and say, I don't know, or you just never know? Come on now. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. All right. Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. I'm not going to quote it. We'll go there. I could, but we're going to read it. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. I like what, I think it's my Thompson chain that says there, it actually, faith there, it's talking about the faith of God. God has given us the measure of faith. It's not human faith. This is the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It's like the little woman when her little boy died, and she grabbed him up and was going to see the man of God, and everyone asked, it's not the new moon, it's not the Sabbath, is everything all right? All is well. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? All is well. She got her son raised from the dead. Okay, this is my way and yours now, your way now. Okay, Joshua 10. I told you we'd get to Joshua. Which is really, Joshua is the Hebrew, and Jesus is the Greek. Joshua is the Hebrew name, I believe. Chapter 10. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the low, going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more who died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the valley, the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Has that quit being? No, it hasn't. I think it'd be more enhanced today than it would have been then. This is Father's way. But we put so much stock in the might of man and our great military. And I'm not discounting that, but I think the Lord would do a lot more stuff for us if we would get that thinking of so much carnal-mindedness, so much the world system and its ways, and adapt our ways to His ways. Genesis 1. God does His battles different. Genesis 1. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was a bad place. It was an awful place. It was a yucky place. It probably looked like, it probably smelled and looked like a swamp. And the Spirit God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now you get the picture of my body on the earth doing what God wants done. Why do you think I brought the animals before Adam? I wanted to see what he would call them. And whatever he called them, that is what they were. It is the exact same for you. I have allowed situations and circumstances into your life, and I'm listening to what you will call them. Whatever you call them, that is what it will be. I gave the earth to you to take dominion over. Romans 4:17 talks about God calls those things to be not as though they were. Call for what you want, not call for more of what you have. This is the biggest problem of church today. They are sick and weak because they have not rightly discerned my body. My body is not, but my... Hmm. My body is alive and full of Holy Ghost power for this hour. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let him not think that he will receive anything from the Lord in that state. So he's talking about keeping our minds in a place that we're not moved. He's wanting us to call the situations that come in our life what we want them. And what we call them, he says, that's what you'll have. He let Adam call a zebra a zebra. And all the other animals. Okay. Okay.